Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones, sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever hit rock bottom? Do you know someone who is there right now? Have you ever wanted to know more about addiction? Tell me, do you know what you can do to beat it? Have you ever heard about the art of following God? Or better yet, would you like to learn how to help others to heal? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? Are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire with Successimo.com. He has provided us with informative and inspirational lessons. But before I introduce our guest, I would love to invite you to call in. The number is 818-431-8506. Let me repeat that. 818-431-8506. Call in with any questions you may have for our guest during our interview today. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about our guest. He was born and raised in Northern California, where he lives now with his wife and two children. He has been involved in church ministry on many levels, ranging from volunteer to pastoral staff. He has created, led, or worked with ministries involving children and youth, counseling services, worship music, first impression, and visitor follow-up programs. In addition to his work in church ministry, this coach has also been trained in applied behavior analysis and holds a Master of Science in Marriage and Family Therapy. This wonderful combination of ministry, counseling, and behaviorism merged to reveal a set of concepts that changed his life. Now he wants to share them with as many people as possible. In 2008, after several years of reviewing, contemplating, and praying about his observations, they came together in a clear, concise format. He wrote about them in his book called The Art of Following God, Actions, Relationships, and Thoughts. These are the three tools with which we affect the direction of our lives, and our spiritual health hinges on them. This guest speaks and teaches about art and helps individuals to see their life through this model. As we learn to align each of the three areas and bring them into agreement, we live congruently and more at peace. As we submit each of them to live according to the way we are created, both as individuals and as members of the human race, we poise ourselves to best communicate with our Creator and to thrive in our relationship with Him. It is with great pleasure that I welcome and introduce you to Jeff Moon. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, January. Thank you.
Okay. Now, should I call you Jeff or should I call you Reverend Jeff?
Oh, just Jeff. That works for me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I touched briefly on where you are from. Could you tell us a little bit about your early background and your education and who some of your first mentors were?
Yeah. I grew up in church and got to see through my times where I was attending church and wasn't attending church over the years. I got to see kind of both sides, how church wanted to present itself and how other people also perceive church from the outside. And I just, over the years, have developed a real passion for people that are coming into the church and just have a genuine desire to either join a new or build their existing relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
So when I was a teenager, there was one person in particular. He was a youth pastor at the church that I went to,
mm-hmm.
who, for some reason, just decided to take me under his wing.
Oh.
And I got to spend time with him, see how his days worked, you know, what he did as a youth pastor. And
uh-huh.
I just really got to see things that I loved. I saw his heart for young people, and I learned a lot about what prayer is really about,
mm-hmm.
You know, more than just a casual request here and there. You know, I got to see some of the things that I hadn't been exposed to as much before that. And then growing up beyond that, I just always wanted to work with people. I'm kind of an introvert myself, but even in spite of that, it seems like I end up being in situations where I have to push past that beyond what comes natural into, you know, working with people because I do love them so much, because I see how God loves them, and that's really just what impresses me so much. The more that I try to see them through his eyes and how he must see them, the more that my love just increases for people.
Now, let me ask you, how old were you when you went to seminary, and how long did you study?
Well, I went for 2 years to there was a biblical institute in Sacramento that I went to.
Uh-huh.
And then I also went through other classes that were besides traditional study, different study groups. There was curriculum that groups would go through together, and they were pretty intensive, like discipleship training system or discipleship training school, different Bible programs like that,
mm-hmm.
and where we did different things like learning the concepts and actually learning scriptures themselves and memorizing and whatnot. And then how the scriptures are relevant to today, you know, what they mean for us.
What advice do you give young people who are contemplating a career in the ministry and serving with the church? What kind of advice would you give them?
I would encourage them to first of all think, okay, what is it that I would desire? What is it that I want? For example, I've met some people who they feel like they might be good at saying things in front of people, and so
mm-hmm.
they feel like, oh, I want to be a pastor.
Yeah.
Well, I would encourage them to look at what the whole job involves and really kind of cling on to a pastor or an associate pastor or youth pastor like I got to do,
uh-huh.
because there's no other way to really see what it's like unless you see them in action. And that goes
mm-hmm.
for a lot of different careers, but something about the ministry, there's so much that you don't see that
mm-hmm.
if you don't, maybe that's not where your joy is in doing those things, and then you would know. Or if your joy is in doing those things also, then it'll be even confirmed even more that, yes, this is really what I've got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for any career, it's important to do sort of an internship and get a feel for what you're getting into. And, you know, we always tell our listeners and our people at Successimo that you need to find your passion, because once you find your passion, then it won't seem like work anymore. It'll be a joy to do, and I'm sure that's the way you feel about your ministry.
Yes, I love it. And when it is work, then what happens is I might see the things that maybe don't come so easily through the filter of what it will lead to. And
mm-hmm.
then that's what brings the joyful part to say, well, you know what, I'm going to do this anyway then, if that's what it takes to accomplish the mission here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're married and you have two children. Do they participate actively in your ministry?
They, not really in my ministry. They're involved at the church that we go to. My daughter sings a lot, and she just really has a beautiful voice. She's 13.
Wonderful.
And my 9-year-old son, he has an interest in really just kind of seems like this innate interest in just kind of learning what the Bible says about different things. You know, he kind of soaks it in, and that's really exciting to see.
Oh, great. And how does your wife feel about your profession?
Well, she actually, I remember before we got married that I was considering taking a volunteer pastoral position at a church. So basically they said, we can't pay you, we can't guarantee that we'll ever be able to pay you, but we would like you to take 1 year and just commit to the service of the church here, and let's see what happens.
Wow.
When I mentioned that to her, and she was supportive of the idea, I knew she was the one that I was going to marry. There was no question in my mind that you know, I'd already had my suspicions, and that confirmed it. Not just because she would do things my way. It wasn't about that at all. It was about that we were like-minded, and that kind of support that was just incredible. And she's continued to be supportive even when I was writing my book, and now that I'm starting to work on actually a fiction trilogy, a Christian fiction trilogy as well.
Well, any woman who will commit to a 1 year without salary, that would certainly seal the deal.
that was a rare find.
She's very special. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about your book and your website. And I'd like to have you share your Successimo experience with our listeners. We'll be right back with Jeff Moon.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back with January Jones, sharing Successimo stories with my very special guest today, Jeff Moon. Jeff, could you share with my listeners your website and what they'll find when they go there?
Yes, I have a site called recoveryourfaithnow.com. Mm-hmm. And what that is, the tagline is basically helping you restore your faith to its rightful place. And so the idea is that our faith does have a place in our lives, a very important role. Our spiritual life is a very real life. And especially when it comes to addiction and recovery, it has a very real place there too. A lot of the 12-step and many other programs include spiritual components. Uh-huh. And what my goal in that particular site is to do is to offer, on the one hand, general spiritual support and encouragement and challenge, and then at the same time, for people who might be experiencing addiction and recovery issues, mm-hmm. to be able to share some of it as it pertains to that specific area of their lives as well. Not to replace any kind of a program that they're in, but uh-huh. to supplement it through the spiritual component.
Oh, yeah. That would be very helpful. And share with us how you became involved in SuccessMO. You are a wonderful success coach, and you've posted so many articles that we'll be discussing. What has your experience been like with them so far?
Well, I think the concept is exciting. I love the prospect of people being able to go and enrich their lives with varied content, because I see the variety of topics that are on the site, and that's fun for me to go and see the different topics and learn myself, mm-hmm. and then also to be able to get rewarded for that is pretty incredible. At first I wondered, okay, can this really sustain itself? But it actually is just appears to be growing by leaps and bounds, which is really wonderful.
Yeah, it's getting bigger and better, and I think it's truly a brilliant concept, especially when it comes we've had quite a bit of success with nonprofits and charities, because it's a way to help your favorite organization raise funds without asking for money. You're just asking people for a little bit of their time. And I think that's a real easy sell, don't you agree?
I do, because it's time well spent. So we're not asking them to spend their time by doing something for our particular cause necessarily even, but something that will benefit them directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about your book now, The Art of Following God, Actions, Relationships, and Thoughts. I want to know, first of all, where we can find your book and how you came about writing, and how long did it take you to write your book?
Yeah, those are some good questions. Right now, I am in the process of reformatting the layout of the book with a new publisher, so it's available electronically at the website, recoveryourfaithnow.com,
okay.
Or if you go to theartoffollowinggod.com, it will take you to the same website, and it's available for immediate download there.
Uh-huh, great.
And then as far as, let's see, how long it took to write the book, that's a really good question. I started writing it, and it had a completely different title, and it was something like, I think it was El Balancing Act, because my original acronym was going to be Actions, Connections, and Thoughts. You know, I kind of had this idea, and I spent about a year writing the first half of the book. I got to 20,000 words. Uh-huh. And kind of hit a roadblock. I went to a writer's conference, and on my drive home from the writer's conference, it hit me, relationships. Uh-huh. I need to change the connections to relationships. That's what I was trying to get at. Uh-huh. And so I came home excited to rewrite and edit the existing 20,000 words. I sat in front of the computer, and I started to edit, and I realized, this is impossible. I can't change this. Everything is different. And so I realized I had to start over. It took me about another year before I got the guts to go back and say, file new, and create the new Word document. And then after that, it took me probably close to a year to actually write the book at that point and finish that up in 08. And that was that was a process there. And so,
Well, when you look back at your successful life, what happened in your life that maybe was unexpected, something that you had no way of anticipating? Perhaps it seemed like a setback, but it turned out to be probably the best thing that ever happened to you. Can you share with us some of the unsuccessful events in your life?
Oh, yeah. Let's see, where to start with the unsuccessful events?
Do we have time?
Exactly, yeah. I can just list them out and you can pick one. No, basically, let's see. Well, let's see. This might not be an unsuccessful event, but it was a
turning point.
Was a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh.
So mm-hmm. let's say, like with our when our daughter was born, she had some kind of a heart problem, and so long story short, she's 13 now, and she's had three heart surgeries. She just had her heart valve replaced this last year at 13, or just before she turned 13.
Oh, my gosh.
This week, actually, let's see, within the last 2 days, we have found out that this summer she will actually need back surgery for scoliosis.
Oh, dear.
And this week coming up, we have a neurology appointment because she has a shortened carotid artery, which is the major supplier of blood to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Definite trials there. And she's the same daughter who is the beautiful singer, too.
Oh, wonderful.
So the testimony in there is she started off with this voice that we could barely hear because she was so weak. And now everybody says, how can that amazing, powerful voice come out of such this little person?
Oh, wonderful.
But through those experiences and the experiences that we're still having, we've really had to come to terms with some things like, okay, where do we put these things? We have no control over them. All we can do is react in the ways that we know how. And, you know, even though it'd be nice if we could make this tidy little way of dealing with life's issues and say, well, since I can put it in this little compartment, there, now it's dealt with.
No.
Well, that would be fine if it doesn't recur. But when it's daily things that have their implications on your whole life, then you don't have the luxury of compartmentalizing. You have to also deal with them, as many of the listeners know, well, all of us know. So we have to come up with a way of dealing with things on an ongoing basis. And that's where, with matters of faith, you kind of decide, is this going to weaken my faith or strengthen it, or am I going to maintain it? And we've really had to say, wow, you know, we really do place the situation on the one hand in God's hands, but at the same time, we're being the best stewards that we know how to be of being responsible to do what is within our control and to get the best medical care and to take care of ourselves and our daughter, you know, emotionally and all of those ways. And it's been so eye-opening.
Is it a trial for the entire family then, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, you know. And because either people feel for us because, you know, they know they can't do anything either, and because, you know, they see and love our daughter too and they wish they could do something, and it's just those things that are difficult. And when you're waiting through an open heart surgery and you're hoping for the best, and you don't know how things are going to be yet until they're done, or maybe even after some healing takes place before they can see how successful things were, sometimes the answer is wait. And that's okay. It's okay that that's the answer sometimes. We need to be in that position sometimes and not be too rushed to where we feel like things have to be revealed to us right now.
Yeah, patience. That's a very difficult thing for many of us. Now, I was looking at the wonderful articles that you wrote, and I wanted to ask you what inspired your first article at successmo.com, and your first article is called Happy New You. Was that for the new year?
It was. So that was the idea, was kind of Happy New Year, but what if instead of it just being a new year, what if the determination is to become a new me or to become a new you, and to make that a happy new me or a happy new you. So more than just being a happy new year, let it be a happy new you, which is for the long haul. Let it be filled with joy, a joy that sustains through the easy times and the good times, but also through the difficulties and trials or even our own mistakes that are bound to happen in this life. And that is available to us. And that is such an exciting concept that we don't have to, it doesn't take the rest of our lives to find joy. We can practice joy the rest of our lives and learn more about it, but we can begin experiencing more of it right now, today.
Yeah. You know, I recommend this article highly for all of our listeners who, you know how everyone makes those New Year's resolutions, and you get to February, you get to Valentine's Day, and all of a sudden they've disappeared. So this article will inspire you, and it will help you get your grounding and start enjoying life and living it to the fullest. You know, we're going to take a break now and hear a little bit about your host. And, Jeff, when we come back, I would like to then talk about your articles on addiction and recovery. We'll be right back with Jeff Moon.
Lately, there's been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100-plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
Welcome back. This is January Jones, and I'm interviewing my wonderful guest, Jeff Moon, and he is sharing his Successimo story with all of us. Now, Jeff, you have submitted some wonderful articles on addiction, and your first article is called Am I an Addict? And what inspired this article?
Well, you might have heard one of the first signs of somebody turning around is realizing that there's a problem when it comes to addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, I thought that might be a good place to begin is with, you know, how does one come to that conclusion? What if it takes a person by surprise?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's somebody out there who it might have been running through the back of their mind, and by seeing that title, maybe that's a chance to say, is this really me?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't wanted to think about it this way or to acknowledge that, but is that the case? And if it is the case, is there hope?
Now, how does one identify if they are one?
Well, you know, in the article, I give an example of a person whose name in the article only is Craig, and he realized that he had a drinking problem, and stopped, and then ended up going back and drinking again. With the idea being here that if quitting is not as easy as it seems, that's one sign of addiction right there. Because it seems like, I could quit tomorrow, I just don't want to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you don't want to do it today, but you're saying you could quit, what is keeping you from quitting if it sounds like it might be a good idea to do so? That's another indicator right there, is that you know, it sounds good in theory, but yeah, I just don't want to right now. You know, that's some possible denial that comes into play.
Right. In the last few days, there's been so much on the news with the death of Whitney Houston, and prior to that, Michael Jackson, and so many celebrities have had problems with the prescription drugs. And do you find that a lot in your ministry? Do you deal with that?
sometimes I dealt with that a little bit more when I was doing some of my my counseling, working towards my which is working towards my MFT internship. And so, for example, I was helping with a couple of domestic violence groups, and in those groups, you know, there was definitely some prescription drug use, and I've had some people in my own life that have had to really deal with that, and it's mm-hmm. so insidious because it can sneak yeah. up on you, because right. you take medication to help you feel better. That's right. its job.
Yeah.
But what happens when you don't need the medication to feel better, but you want to feel better anyway?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you really stop taking it? That's a tough mm-hmm. call sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it just seems to be so prevalent these days. You hear so much about it in the news. And I think a big part of it, especially with the celebrities, is the codependency that develops when people have access to that kind of money and those kind of drugs. What are your thoughts on codependency?
Oh, that's huge. Anybody in, you know, who's in that part of the entertainment industry where they're so swamped with like-minded people, if they're mm-hmm. if they're in that particular circle, that's so difficult, because if you really want to change, you've got not to just say no when you're tempted,
uh-huh.
but when other people are trying to tempt you, or when they're doing something,
mm-hmm.
and maybe when they're just wanting you to do what you've always done before with them. You know, who do you think you are, and now to all of a sudden stop doing this? I thought this is what we do together. So mm-hmm. it really puts you on the spot to feel like you're just rejecting your friends.
Yeah.
And that's not a fun experience for anybody to have to go through.
Yeah, very difficult thing to do. And especially for young people, because they're so attuned to their peer pressure, and they so want to be included in the group and do everything with everyone. And yet when they've had an illness and it's been okay to take pills, all of a sudden the addiction will creep in. And I think this happens quite often, don't you agree?
Very much so. You know, there's physical addiction, there's
mm-hmm.
the mental addiction, emotional mm-hmm. addiction. There's also even just flat out drug abuse, which can be a little bit different.
Uh-huh.
For example,
what way?
Well, let's say somebody just does not want to deal with a certain area of life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've got whether it's just a stressful job, stressful relationship, they want to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol might be the drug of choice, for example, and
mm-hmm.
it just seems so easy just to go and escape for a little while to be able to numb that. Now, that might not be a physical addiction where the person
mm-hmm.
just can't seem to get away from that chemical for too long. But what they're doing is a situational use where,
mm-hmm.
under certain conditions, they want to go ahead and maybe binge or at least drink a lot. And
right.
so in that case, what they're doing is they're abusing a substance so that they can either get into or out of a situation or environment.
Uh-huh. Now, tell us about the difference between dry versus recovering.
I love that, because it's very easy to think that the core problem is the chemical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is a big problem, and it may be the core problem. However, oftentimes there are reasons that a person decides to start using. And at that point of their lives, that was a tool that was available, and that might be the only tool that they could find to take away the pain,
uh-huh.
to take away the hurt for whatever life situation they might have gone through, whether it be abuse or neglect or whatever might have happened. So
uh-huh.
if that's the case, then even though this addiction creeps in over time, it doesn't mean that those issues are gone. So what happens when a person gets away from that chemical? What happens when they go through the whole process? Maybe they've gone through detox and everything, and
mm-hmm.
they've been away from this drug now for maybe for quite some time, maybe, say, a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
Well, sometimes what can happen is the family or friends that they're around can become very disgruntled, disillusioned, and upset because this person begins to be a different person. They're not who they used to be. And they wonder, wow, how could this not be getting better when they've gotten rid of the problem?
Right.
Well, they didn't get rid of the problem. They got rid of part of one problem. But now the underlying issues are there in all of their glory to stand and make themselves known to this person's mind, who now does not have that tool that they used to have to numb the pain.
Okay.
So it's this raw hurt that can be coming out. It can be just flat-out anger. And it can be a surprise to everybody around this individual, because who would have thought they had these things going on? But they're not going to say it because that's not what's on their mind. It's just coming out in all of these different ways. And if you're to look at the ways that it comes out, it comes out in what we do, you know, our actions. It comes out in, how it affects our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out in our thought life. So if you look at those actions, relationships, and thoughts,
right,
that's where you could see the ART model come in, A-R-T, because those are basically the three components of our person.
You know, yesterday we watched, there was so much on television about drugs and addictions, and I watched Dr. Drew, and he was talking about people hitting rock bottom, and how does one really know when they're at the rock bottom?
Well, that's a good question. I have seen a lot of people who would tell you they're at rock bottom, and yet they keep going in a direction where they're hitting their head against the wall, and you think, what's it going to take? What is really their rock bottom? And it is very, very individual. I have a family member who actually, about 13 years ago, she had involvement with different party scenes and whatnot. Anyway, she actually, we thought she was basically at rock bottom. But pushed it a little further and actually ended up having a stroke and is paralyzed on her right side.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's very difficult to see that happen. And, you know, I think in some ways that was rock bottom for her.
Yeah.
In other ways, it still might not have been. So it's a very difficult question to answer, but it's always my hope for people that they can that they can prepare themselves for there to be a rock bottom. In other words, that at some point I will hit a rock bottom. Because if we can at least acknowledge that part, then maybe we can look and we can say, you know what? Maybe I'm at it right now. Maybe I don't need to hit any major hard knocks before I make some big changes.
Right. Well, I think if you can ask the question, you must be getting pretty close. Because if it even crosses your consciousness, that would be a hint. That would be a big hint. Now, it's my understanding that for addiction, it takes 12 to 18 months for people to reprogram the part of their brain that feeds the addictions. Are you familiar with that claim?
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of different numbers that go with it, you know, because in the shorter term, you've got the detox phase where they actually kind of help cleanse their body, and different kinds of chemicals take different amounts of time to leave the body, and until that happens, it's much more difficult to change the habits. You know, some chemicals are fat soluble, some are not. Some are, I think it's water soluble, and those factors can determine how long it tends to stay in the body. And then beyond that, you know, you've got the change of habits. And, yeah, I think for most people it probably does take that long. I've talked to some people who it seems like, especially once they did hit their rock bottom, that was it. They just knew they were not going to use again because it was their memories of where they had been that prodded them to say, I will never let myself go down that slippery slope again. I won't even take a chance. And for them, the habits don't even matter. It's just they're going to stay so far away that there's, they're not going to put themselves anywhere close to it. And even though anybody can slip, they seem to stand the best chance of staying away from relapse.
They have to get scared clean, is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's very difficult for some people. Let's talk about this other article, "'Twas a Night Like This One." What night are you talking about in that article?
I wrote that the Christmas Eve of 09. Yeah,
uh-huh.
09. And that was just something that I was just basically sitting there on that Christmas Eve, and that kind of came, and so
mm-hmm.
So I decided to put it down, and I touched it up a little bit this last year, and thought, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and post that, and
oh, wonderful.
And so I was hoping that would be a blessing to people, you know, and you know, my aim is to never be too preachy in terms of saying that you've got to live your life this way, you've got to live your life that way. But the
mm-hmm.
whole idea of the passion behind the art of following God is it goes back to that that congruency that, you know, we have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And it's through our body's actions, our
mm-hmm.
spirit's relational capacities with
mm-hmm.
ourselves, each other, and God,
mm-hmm.
and our soul's thoughts and feelings and opinions. Those three things put together, that basically defines us. And there's a five-part series I'm in the process of posting right now to Successimo
uh-huh.
that touches on those things. It's kind of like an introduction to the concepts of the art.
Okay. Let me know when they're posted, because I will definitely want to have you back on the show so we can discuss those. You have provided so much inspiration here and so much valuable information. How do we hear God speak to us? Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that comes to mind oftentimes is maybe an audible voice, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I personally have never ever had that.
I don't know too many people who have.
yeah. And now my mom actually did have a situation like that. That
really?
Yeah, she told me when she was a lot younger, she said she was just going to pick somebody up, take this other lady to church.
Mm-hmm.
And this other lady was like just what they call a prayer warrior. If she says she's going to pray for you, she's going to pray for you, and something is going to happen. You know what I mean? And it's one of those amazing people that are,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how they become so gifted like that. But anyway, they'd arranged that this lady was not going to be going to church that day. She was going to have a ride or different transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was going to church, and she said, "Jeff, I kid you not, I heard as clear as day, turn around and go get her."
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She said, "I actually answered, no, Lord, she has a ride." So she gets to church. This
uh-huh.
lady is standing there. She walks over to her, and she was not happy. She says,
uh-huh.
"Why didn't you pick me up?" She said, "Well, you arranged another ride. I prayed for the Lord to tell you to come and pick me up. Why didn't you pick me up?" That was so amazing.
That's pretty powerful.
Oh, very powerful. Now, I tend not to have things so direct, and I sometimes wish they were that direct, because I need to be kind of smacked with a 2x4 to get the hint sometimes.
right.
But anyway,
you know, we're going to take a commercial break, Jeff, and when we come back, I want to talk with you a little. I want to share more about your website, and I also want to talk a little bit about, is prayer for everyone? Because so often now I hear people say, well, I'm really not into organized religion. I'm more into spirituality. And I wonder what you think about that. We'll be right back with Jeff Moon.
Let me ask you, are you ready to become a cash cow? Would you like to get paid while you're spending time at your computer? Let's face it, if you're on it all the time, you might as well be earning while you're learning. You may be asking now, just how does Successimo.com work? Successimo.com is the new paradigm in social networking with big lessons and big rewards. Simply put, it is a change in the way people will learn, earn, work, and live right now and in the future. Its primary purpose is to let people become successful in whatever areas of their life that they desire. We have found that when rewarded with valuable merchandise and cash, people are motivated to continue their learning process. All you will need to do will be short lesson activities that can be articles, videos, audios, blogs, or forums. They take only a few minutes at your computer, and they will reap great rewards. At Successimo.com, you will never have to reinvent the wheel or anything else. We will provide you with success coaches who will motivate, encourage, and support you as you create your own Successimo story. And more than that, Successimo.com provides you with money. You'll have the opportunity to earn money while you're learning to be successful. The lesson activities at Successimo are from the world's foremost instructors. Our success coaches are experts in their field with proven and demonstrated experience. Many of them are authors, speakers, teachers, entrepreneurs, and successful businessmen and women. We strive to bring you success coaches with diverse backgrounds and life experiences. We continually grow our resource base of content providers to serve you continually for your development desires and needs. It is easier than you think to build your own network by just referring your associates, employees, friends, and family. Much to your amazement, Successimo.com will take on a virtual reality life and connect you to a global social networking experience. There are no geographic or physical limitations to this enterprise. So now it's time for you to become a Successimo subscriber, and always remember that on the Internet, innovation plus ideas will equal income. It's time for you to step up to the plate and hit that home run you've always been dreaming about. The timing is right for you to use your creativity and courage to start collecting the cash flow that is the future of social networking on the Internet. Yes, you deserve to be that cash cow right now. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. We're sharing Successimo stories with Jeff Moon and January Jones. You know, Jeff, before we took the break, we were talking about how to hear God speak. And I sometimes feel that I have dreams and that they are giving me a big message. Have you experienced that too?
Absolutely. Sometimes that's the most impacting direction that can happen. I had a dream a couple of years ago, and I actually wrote this one down. It would probably take too long to explain here, so I'll restrain myself. But basically, it really helped me gain some insight into who I believe God wants to understand Him to be. And when I woke up, I just felt like such a weight had lifted. It was incredible.
Oh, what a gift that is. I know I've had several dreams that have been very helpful and very inspiring and quite almost magical. I think it's a wonderful, you have to be open, because I think God tries to speak to us in many ways and gives us many opportunities to hear his wisdom. And sometimes we're so busy, we ignore the things that are right in front of us.
That's a great point. Have you ever noticed that oftentimes our dreams come from uncompleted thoughts from during the day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what happens if we form the habit of completing more of our thoughts during the day, being more present of mind, so that more of us is left over when we go to sleep and we're already at peace because the day is done and we're open? Then that is the place where we're ready to receive.
Now, it's prayer for everyone, because as I said earlier, a lot of people say, well, I'm very spiritual, but I don't need organized religion, and I pray alone by myself, and I hear that often. Do you hear that too?
Yeah, I sure do. Hear it everywhere. It seems to be kind of the theme of the day these days, and the thing is, I genuinely feel bad for people who might not have experienced a rich prayer life, or at least even a rich prayer, because sometimes in our efforts to sound or to be spiritual, we might actually be robbing ourselves of what is ultimately spiritual. You know, it's like a famous author said that the good is the enemy of the best, because if we settle for the good, we're therefore not necessarily going to continue seeking and find the best. So we can meditate and we can place our thoughts in certain directions, but prayer in its pure form is much more than making a request or getting an answer. It's more than communication. It's communion. It's joining together in an actual relationship. That spirit, which is a part of ourselves, just as real as our body and just as real as our soul, it desires to thrive and to grow just like the other parts of ourselves. And if it isn't thriving as much, it starts to starve. And if it is thriving, then it starts to grow. Well, it's a relational part of ourselves. We have a relationship with ourselves, with each other, and potentially with God. When we do have a relationship with God, it's just a matter of what stage, where is it, where does it stand? And when we allow that to be filled and completed, then that portion of ourselves becomes more as it should be, which helps lead to that congruence that we talked about earlier. Because if we're pulled away and any part of ourselves is starving, even if it's just our body, well, that's going to affect where we stand. If it's our spirit, it stands to do a greater harm to us, because that's the condition of our person is where it largely resides. So, you know, they have these studies that show that prayer is effective, and they talk about things that can be accomplished through prayer, and they've done studies, and it doesn't really have to do with what people believe. They found that even regardless of belief, you know, there's something about prayer that is effective. Well, that's because we are relational. So I always hope that people will not stop there, but that they'll seek the source of that power and therefore decide, wow, who is behind this? I've got to know him. I want to know more.
And that's where we would tell them to go to your website. And would you like to give that information one more time?
Sure. It's recoveryourfaithnow.com. And that is, you'll find a blog there where there's some entries similar to the ones that were mentioned here, and some other little thoughts. And the book is available for download at the time of this recording, and then soon available for purchase. When it is available for purchase, it'll in hard copy, it'll be through Amazon and all of the regular outlets.
Okay, and be sure to get it in Kindle, because I'm on a Kindle streak now. I always order Kindle.
Those are so fun.
And the name of the book is The Art of Following God, Actions, Relationships, and Thoughts. Now, before we end our interview, I want to just touch on your last learning article, Putting Frustration in Its Place. Now, that is a big title, because it covers a lot of problems for a lot of people. How do people do that? How do you put frustration in its place?
Well, largely, frustration is when reality and hopes or dreams don't line up. And we want things to be different than they are.
That's frustration.
Absolutely. So one of the steps is making an effort to become a realist and to look at things the way that they are. Maybe we have frustrations at work where we say, you know what, I can't believe they operate this way. This is insane. Okay, and it makes no sense. Well, we can either go to work every day and we can continue approaching the work day as such, and our frustration will actually mount and increase. Or we can say, well, then if that's the reality, then I might expect that it's going to continue to be that way, and not only expect it, but accept it as being so, so that I'm not taken off guard. If we're not taken off guard by things, then we're controlling ourselves and our frustration will decrease. Now, we don't have to be totally passive, though. If we can do something about a situation, then we can consider and maybe pray about what we can do to affect our circle of influence. When we do that, and that might take some real creativity and some time.
Right.
So when we do that, though, then the fact that we have a plan in place can also help reduce our frustration. So by having a plan of attack along with a dose of accepting the reality that's before us, we might be surprised at how much peace we can gain through some exasperating circumstances.
That is such good advice, because, you know, so often things are, you know, they always say it is what it is, and That is true. Sometimes you just have to step back and accept things for what they are. But your advice to be realistic is so powerful, because that's a very hard thing. It's hard for some people to be objective about their problems. Don't you agree?
I know it is for me. I'm not the only one.
Well, now you can join my club, but we don't do any whining in my club. No whining allowed.
No, thou shalt not whine. Yeah, I like
thou
that.
Thou shalt not whine. That's for sure. And, you know, I've enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you, and I do hope that when you post your new articles, send me an email, and we will definitely schedule you for another interview. And I look forward to having you back with us again.
Well, I do too. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Now, for my listeners, tune in every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And next week, Monday, my guest will be Sporty King. And Sporty King is fabulous. He's a humorist, and he's the king of the acronym. Also, I'll be hosting Grace Hayward. And she wrote the wonderful book, The Kiss to Betrayal. Both of these people have been on my show before, and they're back by popular demand. I'm looking forward to presenting those fascinating guests. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. All of my shows are at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time live. Be sure to catch any of our interviews with Constant Streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the Follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. All your comments and questions are welcome. If you are interested in checking out our Successimo program, just go to our website, www.successimo.com. That's SUCCESSIMO.com. You can look it over, and you can sign on without any obligations. It's absolutely free. And please use my sponsor email, januaryjonesinfo@gmail.com. I would love to mentor you and help you get started so you too can learn, earn, and return as you play it upward. Successimo is an amazing opportunity to help out any nonprofits or charities that you work with. You can actually help them raise funds without asking for money. It's positively brilliant. So, for now, stop whining and start smiling and start sharing Successimo with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me on my journey today with Jeff Moon, and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own Successimo story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others, and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity. As you learn while you earn with us and January Jones, sharing Successimo stories.